Reading from Jivadharma, chapter 8. I think it's, let's see what it is. I think it's Nityadharma and Vaishnava behavior. These 10 religious duties have been prescribed to people in general, but none of them clearly indicate Hari Bhajan. Furthermore, one will not necessarily attain complete success in life simply by carrying out these duties faithfully. Om Gyanatimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Shindu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls, the Stuyvesant Falls. Kind of recovering. We had just such an incredible retreat. I mean, I'm getting calls from people who are committing themselves to Krishna who've been around for many years. It just was it was the spiritual world recreated. It just open-hearted, loving, and just absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So but we really put all into it. Tomorrow I'll go to the city, and Friday we'll have the Pearl Festival. I'll be speaking on Sri Radha. And then again on Tuesday, on Radhastami evening, I'll also speak. That will be also kind of nice. So we're continuing this incredible story. And it's based in Gojram Dweep. It's the island of Kirtan. And there's very elevated souls. And they're Babaji's. They're fully committed to Krishna consciousness. And we're seeing how there's a transcendental system. God deals with particular people. He gives us conditions that are conducive for us to get the realizations by which we can come closer to Him. God has witnessed our activities as Vishnu has manifested time to set up certain conditions that enable us to come closer to Him. And at a particular time, when the soul is yearning, perhaps sometimes even fearful of what following one's desires does to one. Love is harmony. And harmony means one desire. And all dissension and lack of beauty is caused by separate interests. We're meant to be in harmony. We're meant to be in harmony with God. And that means to have the desire of God. That's the only, not separate interests. Harmony means one interest. Just like an orchestra, there's one interest. The complete sound. There's not individual virtuosos with their independent interests. So when people enter in fully into that flow of God's interests, when they enter fully into that flow of God's interest, through surrender to the Guru who represents that interest, they enter into complete harmony and beauty with God. And they experience the beauty and harmony and joy of the soul, which is love. And we advance in Krishna consciousness by seeing that. Often what a teacher needs is he speaks to our goodness. He speaks to our truth in a way that allows us to expand our truth and to see that truth within the teacher and then aspire for it. So these great souls are there, and the book is organized so as various people come to Krishna consciousness. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is presented very, very systematically. So now we're at a particular time where these Vaishnavas from Gojram are invited to another place to meet other great Vaishnavas under a tree where Lord Nityananda sat. And they're just discussing the relationship between Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. Actually, it's a very interesting connection. Gaur Leela is Krishna Leela in an accessible form. I described that many, many times. But if you meditate, this is the thing on service and meditation on people and service to great souls and meditation to great souls. You have to enter into the beauty of their desire, which is pure devotional service. So these great souls, so Gaur Leela means that you're meditating in a mood of service on Sri Chaitanya. And when you meditate on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you enter into his heart, which is Radha Krishna. So the way to enter into Radha and Krishna is actually through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so they're discussing this. It's a very, 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 very beautiful point. They're discussing this. And then one of the younger Vaishnavas, he wants to really know what is the behavior of someone who is a Vaishnava. Someone who's actually embraced Nitya Dharma, the very nature of the soul. How does that manifest in his behavior? So naturally, there's one Haridas Baba, he's 100 years old, and they naturally approach him to answer that question, but he defers to Paramahamsa Babaji, who came from Gojram, who asks his disciple Vaishnav Das, who is the Mayavadi Sannyasi, who came to Krishna consciousness and became not only a great Vaishnava, but a very learned Vaishnava. And they asked Vaishnav Das Babaji to answer his question. So he explains that basically there are basically two types of people. There are those that are attentive to Krishna, which means they want reality, they want God, and those that are turning away, they're averse. So there's basically two types of people. You're turning towards, you're attentive to Krishna, and they're diverted from Krishna. And diverted from Krishna means to embrace the false ego. Because the false ego is diversion from Krishna. And the result of diversion from Krishna is, or God, or the absolute truth, is to center yourself in that position. So then he explains that when you do that, you don't accept Dharma. And you don't know what to do and what not to do, and your existence becomes based on selfish happiness. And in those with these, for those who have that moral principle, who are somehow on the path turning away from the ego, which is Dharma, doing what is right to purify yourself of selfishness, such people have, Manu has described, they have 10 characteristics of basic dharmic life, basic life that's kind of has an objective to move away from self-centeredness and selfishness. And there's a characteristic of such a life. And that characteristic is pretty. People are determined and they have patience. Remember, the age of Kali is surcharged with opposition to spiritual life. So people are, they're lazy to spiritual life, but characters of religious life is you have some determination. You have some determination. And forgiveness, which means you don't retaliate when wronged by others. And control of the mind, which means equanimity in the face of unsettling circumstances. And asteya, you don't steal. You don't covet other people's possessions. And socham, you're clean. And indriya nigraha, you restrain the senses. And dhir, your intelligence, which means you know the shastra. And vidya is wisdom. Realization, you apply it. There's satyam, there's truthfulness. And akrodha, you're not angry, which means you're even tempered, even amidst irritating circumstance. So these are the symptoms of religious life. And the six of these characteristics are duties to one's own self. That's called niyam. No, that's called niyam. Determination, controlling the mind in relationship to yourself is called niyam. And controlling your mind in relationship to others is called yam. So forgiveness, absence from stealing, truthfulness, absence of anger are duties to others. But now the question was asked, and Vaishnav is going to answer this so brilliantly, that these principles are prescribed for people in general, but none of them indicate Hari Bhajan, because the question was about Vaishnav behavior. And you will not necessarily perfect your life or be successful in life by carrying out these duties successfully, faithfully. And that's clearly the message of the Bhagavatam. Dharma Svanushtita, very expertly performing Dharma. Dharma Svanushtita Pumsa, Viviksena Katasi, and the Pariyajati. Even if you perform your duties expertly, expertly, it's not going to bear fruit. If they're not connected to developing an attraction for God, because that's the whole goal. What is the goal of stepping out of the center? The goal of stepping out of the center is to realize yourself. But until you come to that platform, moving in that direction will not give you the fruits of perfection. As a ladder, taking 9 steps to get on the roof will not give you perfection unless you get to the 10th step. So complete success in life is carrying out duties faithfully. This is confirmed in Vishnu Dharmottara Purana. And it's quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas. It is most auspicious to live in this world, even for 5 days, as a bhakta of Vishnu, where it is not at all auspicious to live in this world for thousands of kalpas without bhakti for Sri Keshava. A person who is bereft of bhakti for Sri Krishna is not fit to be called a human being. And that is why Shastra refers to such non-devotees as two-legged animals. Wow, heavy. See, we have altruistic qualities. And they're beautiful because they're reflections of the soul. Well, when they are reflections of the soul, they're beautiful. So he quotes from Shonaka's, Rishi's verses, Swavid Parai Hostakarai Samstita Parish Purusho Pusho Yatkarna Patopeta Jatuna. Men like a dogs, hogs, camels, and asses praise those who never hear the holy name of Sri Krishna. So it's a very profound point being made here. This material world has an objective. The Vedas have an objective. And there are things that are meant to help you get to that objective, but unless you attain that objective, those things have no value in themselves. It's just like taking a cure for disease, which is improving your health, but doesn't get to wipe out the disease, and then you die. Or it appears to help you temporarily. There's an objective. All the Vedas I am to be known. If a person never allows Sri Krishna Nam to enter his ears, he's like an animal. In fact, he is more degraded than hogs that eat stool and other rejected substances, camels that wander in the desert of samsara eating up cactus and asses that carry heavy loads for others and always harassed by the shtiyas. So he's making that point. Wow, so heavy in this verse. This is Shonaka Rishi. Really have to get to the goal. And have to be using those things for the goal. Otherwise, they don't really have value. But now the question was raised about not what such unfortunate people should not do. It was only about how those who have taken shelter of the path to bhakti, how they should behave with others. In other words, if you don't develop devotion, and what was this, what the point was, it was saying these other qualities in themselves don't ensure success. And then he gave so many verses. But the real question was not about what those qualities, whether you should have or not, or what, that they don't ensure success. The real question was, what is the behavior of a Vaishnava? And how does he behave with others? So then, Vaishnava is such a scholar. He says bhakti is divided into, the bhakti may be divided into three categories. You can be a kanishta, a neophyte, a madhyam, an intermediate, or an uttama, a topmost. Kanishtas are those who embarked on the path of bhakti, but they are not yet true bhaktis. Their symptoms describe. Achayam eva hariye pujam yashvantaya hite Tadbhakteshu Chanyeshu Chabhakta Prakritasvita. One who faithfully worships the deity form of Sri Hari, but does not render service to his bhaktas, but to other living beings, is a prakrita bhakta, a materialistic devotee. So a Kanishtha, he just worships God, but not others. And it's such an incomplete worship of God. And it's also indicative that one's heart has not really evolved in a very pure way, nor is his vision very pure. It's a very limited conception of God. It's like if you're nice to someone outside in public, and then when you get home you're nasty to him, then you're not very nice to the person. So similarly, if you worship the deity with love and then treat another person poorly who is a receptacle for God, it's a kind of lack of love. When you love, you have to love a person in all everywhere. Not just publicly, but at home. So you can't just worship God publicly, but then not respect God in the hearts of others. So he continues that this establishes that Shraddha is the bija of bhakti. And that when you worship God with bhakti, it is not pure unless you worship the devotees as well. And if you don't do that, your bhakti fails. So such a type of person who we see, who worships the deity with such pomp, who worships the deity with such pomp, but does not honor the devotees, he doesn't really have a high degree of bhakti. Because if he did, that love of God would also transmit into love of others. We see this when religious people, they just have worship God. They're Christians or they're Muslims or they're Hindus, they worship God, but they're not nice to others. Planes go into buildings, but they worship God. So is it really bhakti? Is their heart really love? Or is there some materialistic motive in the heart that is mixed with their devotion to God that covers their perception of devotion or love for others? So now Vaishnav gives a very nice verse to show that if there's no relationship with the devotees, then your understanding of other objects then you're not very high class. The very famous verse, Yasyatma Budhe Budhi Kunape Tadhatuke Sadi Kalatra Dishu Bhoma Ijadi Yatirta Buddhi Salale Nakari Chit Janeshu Abhigeshu Save. If one considers this corpse-like body made of mucus, bile, and air to be his real self, if one thinks his wife, children, and other bodies, bodily relatives, his own, if one has the worship of the body, worship of others, and if one regards the worship of the deity with simply as transformations of earth. So these are the objects of affection. Yourself, others, God, or if one goes to a holy place to take bath, but never hears from the sadhus who are fully conversant with the absolute truth, such a person, although guised in human life, is certainly no better than an ass or a cow. So if you don't have relations to the devotees, then you don't get the benefit of going to a holy place. The reason we go to a holy place, we can't see what's there. We can't see what's there. But because there are others there who can, we go to holy places. So here, it's discussing the absolute necessity to worship and serve devotees to fully realize the worship of God. The purport of these two slokas is that one cannot even approach the threshold of bhakti without worshiping Bhagavan in the form of the deity. If one rejects the deity form and resorts to logical debate alone to deduce the truth, his heart becomes dry and he cannot ascertain the true object of worship. Yet even when one accepts the deities, it is essential to serve him in transcendental consciousness. And transcendental consciousness means that you see God in everyone's heart. In this world, the jivas are conscious entities, chinmaya vastu. And among all the jivas, the bhaktas of Krishna are endowed with pure consciousness. Krishna and the bhaktas are both shuddha chinmaya vastu, pure consciousness. And in order to understand them, then it is essential to have some bandhagyan. So, basically, to actually properly worship God, you have to have the proper understanding. And if you don't have the proper understanding, you won't be able to enter into the threshold of bhakti. And one of the proper understandings is the relationship between the devotees and God. If you make that distinction and don't see that they're both objects of adoration, then you won't be able to practice pure devotional service. So your worship has to be endowed with shraddha, faith, and faith comes from an understanding. That's mentioned also in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu when they describe what is the qualification for Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means that your impetus for performing devotion is what you've heard from the Shastra. So who is the Uttama Adhikari? He's one who knows the Shastra and has faith in the Shastra. Worship of the deity that lacks this unequivocal knowledge of the interrelationship between the different aspects of transcendental reality is simply founded on customary or traditional gods. So then why do people worship the deity? It's kind of some kind of custom or tradition that they have regard for. But they don't have a deep understanding of it. And therefore, they don't have a deep faith in it. And therefore, their worship of God doesn't go beyond the deities. And therefore, such worship is not Shuddha Bhakta. It's only the entrance. So who are the people that have reached the threshold of bhakti? So it describes in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Learned the scholars have determined that a Vaishnava is one who is initiated into a Vaishnava mantra in accordance with the regulations of the Shastra and who is engaged in the worship of Vishnu. Kanishtha Vaishnavas or Prakriti Bhaktas are those who accept the family priest out of hereditary tradition or who are prompted by worldly faith to imitate others. They're not Shuddha Bhaktas, rather their devotion is called Chaya Bhaktavas. It's just a shadow of bhakti. That's a shadow of bhakti, because if you don't understand the devotees, you don't understand God either. They do not have Pratibindha Bhakti, which is so he's mentioned it. These are the people they can have behave towards others according to the religious principles we mentioned. And they can have the behavior of determination and forgiveness. And but the behavior that is prescribed for the bhaktas or the Vaishnavas does not apply to them. Because they may be determined, they may be forgiving, they may not steal, but they may not have an understanding of the devotees and of Hari Bhajan. And the person who actually has this kind of discrimination, who can actually understand the devotees, and they understand Krishna, and bhakti to Krishna means anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. It's activities intended to please Krishna. It's activities intended to please Krishna. And what is Krishna? Krishna is defined by Rupa Goswami as Krishna means Krishna and his differentiated energies. If you understand Krishna fully, you understand Krishna is the substance and basis of everything. So it includes his differentiated parts and parcels. So you're not fully understanding Krishna, not fully loving Krishna, if you don't also love the devotees. And this power to discriminate is the symptom of a Madhyapadamkari. So he's describing what is the behavior of a person just on the threshold of bhakti. He may offer respect to the deities. But when one becomes Madhyam, and he understands some Bandhigyan, then his behavior is described in 11.2.46. He worships God. He's friendly towards the devotees. He shows mercy towards those who are ignorant and neglects those who are inimical to God or his devotees. So Madhyam Adhikari has this discriminatory understanding. And therefore, he not only worships God, but in that worship and love of God, he naturally is friendly towards the devotees. Otherwise, your worship of God is very limited and very impure and not very loving. And you show mercy towards those who are ignorant. And because you love God, you ignore those who are inimical. So this is the behavior of Nitya Dharma. Because he asks, what's the behavior of someone who is in Nitya Dharma, who actually understands the soul? When someone actually understands the soul, when actually realizes himself and feels that love in his heart, then that love in the heart is reflected by worshiping God, by being friendly to the devotees, by being merciful to those who are ignorant, and by neglecting those who are inimical. So this is essential, and this may not be there in someone who just has the 10 duties of religious life. He may not be a Madhyam Adhikari. He may not. So Madhyam Adhikari, so what's the behavior of the devotee? He's worshiping God. He's friendly with the devotees. He's merciful to those who are ignorant, and he neglects those who are averse. And other types of behaviors that are not opposed to this behavior may be adopted when necessary. Doesn't mean that you're not forgiving, that you're not determined, etc. So these other behaviors are also there. So, in conclusion, this is Vaishnava Das is explaining, a Vaishnava's behavior is directed towards four categories of individuals. He deals with Hari, the devotees, the materialistic people, and those who oppose. And therefore, he shows love, friendship, mercy, and neglect respectfully to these four individuals. He's loving towards Hari, friend towards the devotees, merciful towards the ignorant, and he neglects those who are inimical. So the basis of this for Madhyam is that he has love for Krishna. And that means he has Shuddha Bhakti, pure Bhakti. There's no motive. One is just worshiping the deity and neglecting the devotees. He has some motive in his worship. And the Madhyam Adhikari, his symptoms are, which was described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anya Bilashita Shrinyam Jnana Karma Janavritam Anukuyena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakta Uttama. It's the Uttama Bhakti is the endeavor, the full endeavor to serve Krishna in a favorable mood, free from any other desire, not covered by impersonal knowledge. And by the karma. And that's the Madhyam Adhikari. Where the only characteristic of bhakti in the Kanishka is serving the deity with a faith. And such a person is not free from ulterior motives. He's not free from karma and jnana. And his endeavors are not to serve Krishna. And we become Madhyams from Kanishthas. This is all Vaishnava. When these symptoms begin to manifest in our heart. And prior to that stage, when it's not free from ulterior motives and you're covered by karma and jnana, and we are not merciful to those who are ignorant, and you're not neglectful to those who are inimical, and you're not friendly with the devotees, and prior to that stage, it means you're a prakriti bhakta. And you only have a semblance of bhakta, or you're Vaishnava bhas. So when you're anukuyena, when your activities are intended to please Krishna, it refers to friendship with the devotees, mercy towards the ignorant, neglect of those who are inimical. And this is a symptom of Madhyam. Very interesting. Madhyam has these relationships, and this is the symptoms of his behavior. He's merciful, he's friendly, he's worshiping. He doesn't have motive. It's Shuddha Bhakta. He's not contaminated by gyan. He's not contaminated by karma. When you lack these symptoms, lack these types of values, lack these types of behavior, then you're Kanishtha. And it means your love is directed towards to the devotees, and it's just a semblance of bhakti, and it's filled with ulterior motive, like karma and jnana. So somehow these things are repeated again and again. I don't know how easy they are to follow. But now Vaishnava explains, especially this second characteristic of friendship towards the devotees. Especially those devotees who have Shuddha Bhakta, who are submissive to Hari's will, Sri Hari's will. So this is the second characteristic of a Madhyam. Is friendship with the devotees. And what is a devotee? One who has this Shuddha Bhakti. So who is he friends with? A devotee, but what kind of devotee? A Madhyamadhikari. One who actually has Shuddha Bhakti and who's submissive to Hari's will. And Kanishthas are not Shuddha Bhaktas. They're not fully submissive to Krishna's will. And they do not offer respect or hospitality to the pure devotees. Therefore, Madhyams and Uttams are the only suitable people with whom you develop intimate friendship. Okay, are there any questions? Anybody have any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Sarah.
Who is it?
Sarah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wait, I heard first, who is that? I heard Sarah?
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Sarah,
can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Anybody else like to say hello?
I heard Sridhar Maharaj today in your lecture.
Did you?
I did. Beautiful harmony. Boy, that was such an endearing video. I just saw it today. Or no, last night. Last night. It was so beautiful. So sweet, I mean.
Very nice.
Thank you for lecturing me.
Well, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Say hello now. Thank you. Thank you for this one.